You did a score that is one of my favorites from any film, and that is the Oscar. A marvelous score on a turkey of a picture.
Right. Well, I really had a ball with that one. They wanted a lot of music and a lot of little instrumentals and tunes, so it was a great chance. And they swore up and down that this was going to be a classic. And as I got into it deeper and deeper, I realized that it wasn't going to be. There were some flaws in there, you know, as far as the chemistry is concerned. They had Tony Bennett, who's certainly not an actor. He's a great artist and a great singer. And they, I forget the girl. She was a striptease artist at one time.
Yeah, and Stephen Boyd.
The picture bombed, so there again was a pretty good score down the drain. You know, you don't even get the benefit, the fringe benefits of records of a hit theme from the picture. We had one in there, maybe September, which the director did not want sung in the picture at all, because he felt it would, it was too commercial an approach, and if the song is not sung in the picture, you are not eligible for an Academy nomination. It would have been, even mm-hmm. though the picture bombed, because we at the Academy look for quality type songs, but Tony did record it, but not
the
for the picture, right?
Maybe September I'll love again. Maybe a rainbow will catch me then. This little boy lost will find his way once more. Just like
that song has a startling construction, because you come down to the end and you think the melody is concluded, and then you add a completely different strain
Yes.
It's more than a coda. It's a long extension of the song, and it's breathtakingly beautiful.
I just felt that when I got into it, that I... it just had to be there for me, you know. The lyrics were written afterwards, of course, and also it was not added, that extension was not added because I needed the time in the picture. You know, they say we work by stopwatches, which we do. I didn't have that problem at all because some of the scenes were long enough for me to make all the extensions I wanted. I just felt the song right wasn't quite finished. It had to settle down somewhere. It was a good touch, yes.
Oh, it really worked. Beautiful thing. What other pictures have you done?
Well, I can't remember all the titles. I did a picture called The Third Day over at Warner Brothers, which is a detective type picture. I did a picture at Universal, in which we had a lot of arguments with the director. The producer was very happy with a fine score and a type of theme he wanted. The director then changed his mind and said he wanted a rock type theme, and I said, well, if you had told me that in the first place, we would have gone that route. But the theme that's in there now is scored throughout the picture, and it just wouldn't fit. So rather than give in and write a new theme that wouldn't seem to have anything to do with the picture, I just said throw it all out, which they did. And this is incidentally quite a practice now. They used to do it with writers, you know, if you were a scenario writer. The director and the producer had the privilege of tearing up pages, oodles of pages, ripping them out and saying, go home and rewrite that for us, maybe four or five or six times. And they would never do it with music. Now they're doing it with music. They just throw out scores as if only took 20 minutes to write, you know.
Oh, I've talked to two or three guys lately. You know, like at Johnny Mandel's house, I was looking down his, you know, his collection of manuscripts, and I said, I didn't know you did that picture. He says, I didn't. I got thrown out of it. And easily wrote it, and it got thrown out. Lalo had
practice.
One thrown out, and it's, you know, Lalo had a case of a picture where he was told it was a Southern Civil War thing, and they said, now, we do not want anything that remotely sounds like Dixie in this, so we want you to write against the picture and do something completely fresh, and he did, and then the guy came in there and says, it doesn't sound like the period, and they got somebody else to do a score, and they put Dixie in it.
Right. Well, this is what's going on now, and so I haven't done one for 3 years. I just soon do my recordings, do a few concerts, play some golf and fish, then, rather than get involved with directors and producers who really don't know anything about music and admit it, will admit it to you, but will stand over your shoulder while you're writing it, and that's a terrible amount of pressure to be under. You're a lyric man. Can you imagine somebody standing behind you saying, do we need the word the, do we need the word and
just freeze you.
You know, my son Peter is a manager of movie composers, and he is involved with one right now where they've already thrown out three scores, you see.
Oh,
so I don't want any part of that. Now, he tells me that the last one, and three very well-known writers. Now, the last one was Dave Grusin, who is a
talented
great,
man.
Great talent. Well, Pete got him in on it. The score, one had been thrown out, and Dave was brought in. It was only about 15 or 20 minutes of music, but the, I don't remember if it was, I think it was the producer, was standing, practically standing over his shoulder all the time, wanting to hear it, and when you would play it for him, he wouldn't know.
Couldn't imagine the orchestration.
Couldn't picture it. Anyway, so at the recording session, you know, at the scoring stage, as they call it, when they put up the screen and you put the music to the picture, you have a rehearsal first. So I understand that Dave Grusin called the producer out to stand beside him in front of the orchestra and said, I want you to listen to this, you know, so we don't waste any time. And Dave played four bars and stopped. And said, turned to the producer and said, what do you think of it so far? This is in front of the
audience. Marvelous.
So the producer is a little stunned because he isn't in an office with Dave where he can clobber him. He's in front of 30 or 40 men. He said, well, isn't there more? So Dave said, sure. So he said, okay, boys, bar five. Then he went on and played bars five, six, seven, and eight, and stopped again. He says, what do you think of it so far? And the producer turned around and walked out, figuring that he was being had, you know.
Yes.
And they scored a picture, and then they threw that one out. So now they're working on their third. Can you imagine going through that? There are a lot of new people. A lot of them are young. They have money, and they produce, and they have gone to directing school, so they direct. And it can be a problem. And I would hate to have to depend on that form of composition for my bread and butter. I really would. You'd be a nervous wreck within a year.
Well, I had better go and get my car out of there by 4 o'clock, or I'm going to get it towed away. Percy, thank you very much for sitting and talking with me today.
Well, nice being here. Nice seeing you, Gene.
This has been Gene Lees and Friends, an anthology of modern music. On this program, Gene has been talking with composer and arranger Percy Faith. Gene returns next week to discuss music with another of his friends. You're invited to join them.